This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Everybody ready for Christmas? Oh, that was really weak. Nobody here is ready for Christmas. All right, you're ready emotionally, but no one's ready like things are done, right? Well, today we are starting a new series that's really focused on Christmas. So if you're not ready, hopefully you will be. So if you're outlined, go ahead and take that out, because Christmas is here, right? Whether you want it to be or not, Christmas is here. It's upon us. Things that are going to happen around us are already started. The Christmas songs have already started. Magic has already started playing Christmas music all the time. Sirius XM already has Christmas music going on it. They showed White Christmas yesterday. You might have already seen it already if that's part of your thing. I think Rudolph has been on. There's decorations in the stores. There's decorations in houses. My neighbor was putting up lights on the house yesterday. I was really worried he was going to fall off. I was going to call 911, but he did okay, got it all up, so everything's good. But Christmas time is here, and we're excited about that. I hope that you're excited about it, because it's so special. In our culture, if you think about it, in our culture stops twice a year to recognize Jesus. Twice a year, our culture kind of stops everything with days off on December 25th for the birth of Jesus. And then at Easter time, which is really a day that kind of floats because it's based on Passover, and Passover is based on the vernal equinox, which is also after that you have the full moon, so we don't have to worry about the timing. It's always in the calendar, but every year our culture stops and remembers Jesus. Now our culture also tries to bury it, doesn't it? Our culture tries to bury Jesus and kind of cover him up and say, don't think about him, think about everything else, but our culture still stops, and it's kind of an amazing thing that all over the world, billions of people stop what they do to remember a Jewish carpenter who was born 2,000 years ago, and it's not by chance that this happens. And the reason we do it every year, if you think about it, is the same reason they did Passover every year. Because every year, it's a reminder. Every year is a teaching tool to remind us who Jesus is and what he was about and what he is about and what he taught and what he wanted us to know and how it affects our life and why Christmas is more than just the day that we take the day off. That Christmas is more than just a story, it's the story of everything. And today we're going to kind of start unpacking this, and through the next few weeks we'll be looking at the Christmas events and how it affects the world, and what does it mean for your life, and what does it mean for my life. Now, in the Bible, there are four accounts of Jesus' life. You know this, right? They're called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew has very, very little about the birth of Jesus. Matthew tells some things that happened before. They tell Joseph's story, but there's very little about the birth, just a few sentences about the birth of Jesus. Mark skips it entirely. Mark kind of just jumps over, and Jesus is a man. He doesn't include anything about the story of Jesus' birth. Most of us know Luke's account. That's the account of what happened at Jesus' birth. And so when we read that later in this series, we're going to kind of get the full details. That's something that's really detail-oriented. And then you get to John. And that's what we're going to look at today. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 1, because we're going to dive into some deep stuff through this series. And today we're going to get into the real deep stuff, because John is a deep thinker. John was a fisherman. John was a poet. And he wanted to give us the big picture of Jesus, written about year 85. So about 85 years after Jesus' birth, John sat down and said, I need you to know the full story. What is behind everything? So let's just read John chapter 1, 1 through 14 to kind of get us into this Christmas spirit, kind of see what's there and how John had this totally different take on the birth of Jesus and what it means for you. And it's not as simple as we think sometimes. John chapter 1, 1 through 14. It'll be on the screen. I'm going to read it out loud. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, and whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe him through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And notice what you don't see in those verses. There are no angels. There are no shepherds. There's no Bethlehem. There's no manger. There's no animals. There's no star. John wants to go a little bit deeper. He wants to kind of unpack who Jesus is a little bit more fully. One year, my brother, and he loved to do tricks at Christmas, he gave one of his daughters a package within a package within a package within a package. You ever done that before? Where the real present's really small and you don't want them to figure it out, so you wrap it inside boxes, and they're so excited when they start opening it, they unpack, the first part, and then they go, okay, there's another present, and then there's another present, and never another present. You ever done that before? Now you have an idea for what to do for Christmas when you're giving away that gift card, right? Package it differently so they can't figure it out. But that's what my brother did, and I think kind of that's what John is doing here. John is saying, when you look at Jesus, don't stop at the manger. Don't stop with the familiar stories. I want you to look a little deeper. In the year 85 AD, people are trying to figure out, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus really? Because they're still doing it today, aren't they? Who is Jesus? Is he just a historical figure, or is he something more? And people are starting to kind of dumb down Jesus. They were trying to say he's just this. And John wants to say, no, he's different. He's different. That John, when he saw Jesus, he knew him as a human being. He knew as a friend, just as a teacher. And then he saw him do miracles. And then he saw him transformed into all his glory on a mountain. And then he saw Jesus rise from the dead and said, this guy is not who I thought he was at the very beginning. He's much more than that. And he wants to share that with us. And I can tell you today, I do not feel adequate with sharing this story of Jesus. He is too deep for me to express in words. I don't fully understand it. I am trying to develop my own understanding of God through his word. He's too big for me. I will tell you that right now. He's too big for me. I cannot wrap my head around him, but I can take the words just like you can. I can go a little bit deeper. I can get a little bit deeper into the meaning, and I can ask him to show me who he is, and that's what we're going to do now. So before we go any further, let's just stop and pray. Father God, in the midst of your word, it is a mystery. Because this is bigger than we are. We all as human beings have a beginning, and we're going to discover about Jesus and his and how it's so different than ours. So today, just open our eyes. Help us see the manger a little bit differently. Help us see Jesus a little bit differently. Help us see our own lives a little bit differently. Open our eyes that we may see your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your outline today, we're going to talk a little bit about who Jesus is, talk about what Christmas teaches us, because that's the main thing about Christmas. It's designed to teach us, not just about our culture, but who Jesus is. And on your outline, the very first thing I want to get across that John's telling us is this. Christmas teaches us that there is a purpose behind everything in the universe, which is a strange place to start for Christmas story, but that's exactly where John starts. There is a purpose behind everything in the universe. He says, let's start big. Let's start big with this Christmas idea. There's a purpose behind everything in the universe. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word. He starts with the same idea that Christmas is the same as Genesis. Same word, start Genesis, is start John. In the beginning, the very beginning, before anything else. And you have this verse in your outline. I want you to circle a word, all right? I want you to circle a word. You can probably figure out which word I'm talking about. It's the word, word. Notice how he uses this. John's a poet, so circle every time you see this to the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See how many often he's going, he's repeating this over and over. He wants to get this idea. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The word, Word. Now, above the word, Word, I want you to write another word that you might know already. It's the word Logos, L-O-G-O-S, Logos. It's not logos like more than one logo that you see like Nike or something like that. The word logos in Greek is the word that we get word from, but it really means this. It means logic. It means reason. It means purpose. It means there's something behind there. The word word means discourse, a discussion. Like within one word, the logos of God, you have to unpack it as if God is speaking to us. And John wants us to know something. In their culture of Greece, where he kind of lived, a lot of the Greek thinking, they said there's something behind there. There's something behind everything. It's logos. Everything makes sense. But John's pointing and said, I want you to know who that is. I want you to know what it's about. It's about the fact that everything in the universe is here for a reason. There's a reason there's a sun in the sky. There's a reason there's a moon above our earth. There's a reason for stars. There is a reason there's an atmosphere here on this particular planet. There's a reason there's an earth. There's a reason there's water here. There is a reason there's bacteria here. There's a reason that gnats and insects are here, which I don't fully understand. There's a reason there's a porcupine. There's a reason that human beings exist. There's a reason that you can speak. There's a reason you can talk and understand. You are not an accident. This world is not an accident. None of this is accident. There is a reason that you are in this room. There is a reason for minerals and metals in the world. There's a reason for cloth. Everything, there's a reason. And when you begin to see what John's saying, you'll begin to look at everything differently and say, okay, there's a purpose here. This did not just happen by accident. Mathematicians and scientists will tell you there's a mathematical possibility that things can exist out of nothing. There's a small chance of it. And everything that most people think is based on this very small chance, this mathematical possibility that things could exist, but it's not probable. It's not probable. You know what the universe should be? It should be empty. There should be nothing here. And yet there's something. And John's trying to tie this together. He said, when you see something in the universe, when you see a person, when you see a pew that you're sitting on, when you see the sun, he wants you to think back to Christmas and the birth of Jesus. And somehow it's all tied together. Somehow it's all there. If you were to walk along the beach where there's no one, okay, like I did a few months ago. I was at Ocracoke Island. There's a stretch of about 5 miles where there's no buildings. There's no people, all right? There was nothing but sand and water and sand dunes and grass. If I was to walk down that walk, you know, down the beach, and there was a crib sitting there just on the beach, I'd have a couple of choices to make. I could say it just appeared one day out of nothing, and there it was. Or I could look at it and go, this thing has purpose. This thing has a meaning behind it. Someone put this together. It didn't just show up. It didn't just wash ashore. Somehow it got here. And we would have to decide how. Somebody must have placed it there. Or they lost it. Now, how do you lose a crib? I don't know. But if it was just there, we'd say there's got to be a purpose behind this. Someone did this. And John's saying, when you look at the universe, get this idea, it's here for a person, a purpose. You are here for a purpose. And that leads to number two. Christmas teaches us number two is that there's a person behind the purpose. There's a person behind the purpose. If there's a creative design, there must be a creative designer, right? Behind intelligent design is intelligent designer. Somebody did this. Somebody with a purpose did this for some purpose that we may not know, but it didn't just show up. You are here. I am here. Things are here because someone did it. Again, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And then it uses a pronoun. It doesn't say it. It says he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He's saying this is Jesus. Isn't that kind of amazing? You look at the baby in the manger. Now most babies are completely helpless, right? When you look in the manger, John's trying to say that baby, baby Jesus is the one behind everything. And that kind of blows our mind. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Before anything else was made, he existed. And that's a hard thing for us to think about because we had a very much beginning, right? We can point to the day where we began. That's our birthday. Today's my wife's birthday. Don't tell her I said that. She's not in here because I want attention. So I'm just going to point at her since, and I'll pick somebody else second service. But that's the day she began, right? Our drummer's not here today, Jonathan and Sarah had their baby. That's kind of cool this week, and she's healthy and everything's good. But that's the day she began. You had a day you began. Everything has a beginning, right? Except for Jesus. Except for God, who has always existed. And if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what can. Because that is a huge thing that God wants to understand at the very beginning. Before anything else was made, Jesus was already there. John Piper put it this way. Jesus was there not only before matter, he was there before time. He did not come into being, he was just there. Think about that. There's a God behind everything that never began. He just always has existed. John told us this in John 1:14. He wants to understand where this came from. It says, the Word became flesh, became a baby, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory. The glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became a human being. Now, let's say you don't believe in God or you're not sure about God. Is he really there? A lot of times we rationalize, we think about it, we kind of go through the possibilities. But if you're a parent and you look at your child, it's a hard thing to say that that child's just random chance. When it gets personal, we kind of go a little bit deeper, right? This child cannot be random chance. There is something behind it. This is a miracle when you have a child. You just go, that came from somewhere. When Jesus came as a baby, he came to show us that everything comes from somewhere, and he is that somewhere. Now think about the secular story of Jesus. Let's say you don't believe in him as God or the Son of God, and you think he was just a person. Kind of work yourself through this story for a second. Historians teach us that Jesus existed. There's no argument about that. There's too much written about it. So everybody believed he existed in some form. If you don't believe he's Son of God, you believe he was just a teacher. Here's your idea of the story. Jesus was born in this backwater place called Bethlehem in the middle of a superpower called Rome. And he grew up in the middle of nowhere in poverty. He had no formal education. He started teaching when he was 30. He got a few people around him, just a few. And he began to teach some strange off-the-wall things like love your neighbor, turn the other cheek, take care of the poor. There's a kingdom on this earth that's not of this earth. It's from somewhere else. And he began to teach them that I'm God. He is God. He would say, I am God. I'm the Son of God. He began to express things like that. People were kind of indifferent about him. They weren't sure, but there was a small gathering, never more than 200 or 300. He fed 5,000 one time, but they're not sure as historians about if he really did that because they don't believe in the miracles. And then he was arrested, and then he was executed, and then he was dead. That's where their story stops. Then they began to tell that the rest of it's going to happen. They say something like this. Well, some of his followers began to say that he rose from the dead. This rumor spread. Some of the people began to believe it. And then persecution hit this group of people. And it began to wipe them out. But for some reason, some of them kept believing in this Jesus. For some reason, it began to build. Even though persecution began to come, it began to spread throughout Rome until the Roman Emperor Constantine in a little over 300 AD became a Christian, and it spread throughout the world till today. There's over 2 billion people who follow this Jesus. Now, there were messiahs all over the place that were false messiahs at the time of Jesus, and they were wiped out. Nothing ever happened to them. And I will tell you this, if you look just at history, it's very improbable that this would have happened. That a Jewish carpenter from the middle of nowhere who was executed and killed, that his followers would continue following him today and give their lives to him. It makes no sense. There must be something behind it. And what's the something behind it? It's got to be God. It's got to be God. Just the fact that people are worshiping him today and celebrating Christmas is a sign that God's still at work and that everything has a purpose and there's a person behind the purpose. Do you ever think about the purpose of Christmas and how supernatural that was? Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. Why in Bethlehem? Because hundreds of years before, God said it's going to happen in Bethlehem. Do you imagine the probability of Mary and Joseph getting together, two descendants of David, King David getting together to have a child? It's very small in probability. How about the fact that the temple was only around for so many years and he was born just during that time? The probability of that's so small. And the fact that Jesus came during that time shows there's someone behind it. So Christmas teaches us as a person behind the purpose. The third thing that Christmas teaches us to kind of follow through with this is this. We find our purpose or can find our purpose in the person of Jesus Christ. If this all fits for everything, it must fit for us. We can find our purpose in the person of Jesus Christ, and this is where it gets personal. In other words, when you look at the manger and you see the baby, you have this idea the baby is looking back at you and seeing you, and it's now personal. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he says this, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood. He said, you're not here just because of blood. You're not here just because of the will of flesh or your will of your parents, nor the will of other people, but of God. In other words, you're here because God has you here for a purpose. It's personal. He knows you personally, and that's huge. You're not here by accident. You're not random chance. God has you here for a purpose. They wrote a song about this in the early church, and I love this song. We don't know the music to it. We know the lyrics. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says this, "But for us there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through him we live." All things were created through him, and all things include you. Now, if you're sitting close enough to someone, I want you to turn to them and say this, "All things include you." Can you say that to them? All things include you. That means they are telling you that God created you. All things mean you. In the Old Testament, David wrote, and he said it this way, Psalm 139, 13 through 17. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Now I want you to turn to the person near you and say this, "You are wonderfully complex." Can you say that to him? You are wonderfully complex. Don't say complicated, okay? That's a whole different word. It's a whole different understanding, but you are wonderfully complex. Isn't that great? You are who you are. The odds say you shouldn't exist the way that you exist. There are too many things that have to happen. Did you know that in this room, you are different from everybody in here? Even if you have a twin, you are different. Some of you are extroverts, and you're just extroverted, okay? You just are out there. You're just out there, and you do things. Some of you are introverts. You go, "Don't draw attention to me at this moment," right? "Don't do anything to kind of mess me up." Your personalities are different. If you've taken Myers-Briggs, you guys are, some of you are high Ds, and you can't wait for me to stop talking so you can start, right? That's what you're waiting for. Just get off the stage already. It's about me right now. Some of you are very, very quiet people in that way. Enneagram people, there's all kinds of people here, and you're all over the place with that, all right? If you ever do the animal one, some of you are Labradors. You can't wait to be done so you can go over to the ministry center and just talk to people and just interact, and you want to eat the snacks and all those things because you're the party people. Where would we be without the party people? You'd be boring, right? You are wonderfully complex. You are. Your brain has the capacity to store 100 trillion facts. Now, you get older and you can't recall any of them, but they're still up there, right? Your brain is wrinkled. They're there, but they're hidden somewhere. 100 trillion facts. That's amazing. Every second, you can do 15,000 thoughts. That's why some of you are ADHD, right? Because all the thoughts are happening at the same time. Your brain is working so hard right now in making your heart beat and making you breathe. If you ate anything, you don't even know this. I don't want to get gross, okay? But your body's digesting right now, and you're not telling it to do it. It's just all those muscles are working to create nutrients so you can live and you can breathe and you can have meaning. The coffee you drank is going through your body right now and it's hitting your brain, right? That caffeine's going. You're starting to wake up a little bit. That's good. That's a good thing. Your body is complex. You can smell, not that you do smell, but you're able to smell 10,000 different smells. And when you came in today, you were hit with all kinds of different smells, right? And your body can just adapt to it. You just recognize it. Your finger can touch something 1/25,000th of an inch in height, and you can rub over it and you can feel it. You can tell the difference. So when you rub your hand over the walls, not the wood walls, you'll get splinters, but if you ever rub your hands on the walls, you can just feel the difference because God made you that way. You are a miracle because your DNA was knit together in your mother's womb, and God did that. And he knows everything about you. That's an amazing thing. You are unique. The verses go on and says this, "Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." There are over 500 to 700 talents and abilities that you have. You just have them because you were made in a marvelous way. The writer says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." You ever thought about that? God has a book with your life in it. And he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to eat. He knows what you're going to think. He knows where you're going. He knows what's going to happen next because there's a purpose behind everything in your life. Whether you recognize it or not, God has a purpose. You are part of his story, a huge story. And it's much bigger than we think because we think about daily stuff, right? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to react to what someone says? And how am I going to going to deal with work tomorrow and how I'm going to get all my Christmas shopping done before Christmas. We think in those kinds of details, and God thinks in big picture stuff, how everything that you do is interacting, and it's just a miracle that he can do that. There's a purpose behind everything in your life. Did you know that? Every good thing and every difficult thing. Romans 8:28 is a great verse, and it says this, and we know that God calls us everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose for them. When you know Jesus, everything's working together for good. Matthew and Luke include the genealogy of Jesus. If you've ever read genealogies as you're reading through the Bible, you go, why is it there? You ever done that before? Why do we do that so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so? You ever read that stuff and go, why is it in there? Here's a couple of reasons. One, to show the miracle of how anybody ends up anywhere, right? If those two people don't get together, then their descendants don't get together. And if their descendants don't get together, then this person doesn't exist and that person doesn't exist. And God's showing, I worked in all of those things, because that's a huge thing that God does. The other thing it tells us is some story behind Jesus. In the descendants of Jesus, or the ancestors of Jesus, there are four women. Why four women? Because most of the days, those days, they only had the men in the lineage, because these women tell a story about how God brought everything together for good. One of them is Tamar. Her story, you can't really tell them in mixed company if you know her story. She seduced her father-in-law because she wanted to get pregnant. And that child is an ancestor of Jesus. He took that event, and Jesus came out of that. Rahab was a prostitute living in Jericho. She was not a Jew. And after the fall of Jericho, she enters in the Jewish world. She enters in their tribe. She becomes part of it. And she is one of the ancestors of Jesus. You know the story of Ruth, right? A Moabite woman. She was not a Jew. She becomes part of the lineage of Jesus, part of his ancestors, to say that everybody's welcome at the table. You know there's a reason there's different races? God has a purpose for it. And in the story of Jesus, he brings together the different races and said, look, this is part of Jesus' story. He was not pure Jewish. That's a huge thing for their culture. Bathsheba, you know her story, right? She was just minding home business. David came as the king, and we would call this sexual harassment or sexual assault today. He brought her to his palace. He slept with her. She got pregnant. He had her husband killed, and she is an ancestor of Jesus. And God worked all of these things together for good. And you look at your story, and you go, I don't know how God could use this for anything. How could you take this event in my life, which has all the things that I didn't like about my life, and how do you work it for good? And God says, because there's a purpose in everything that you experience. And I'm working that together for a bigger story. And what looks like a failure to us, to God, is a building block into making us who we need to be. It blows my mind that God can take you and he can take me and all the bad things that we've gone through and all the tough things we experience and all the good things, and he writes this beautiful story, and he says, you're part of my greater story. I have a purpose. You are 1 in 7 billion people. Did you realize that? And God says, I'm writing your story. And it's a big book with 7 billion characters in it at this moment. And I know every one of them. Do you ever think about the fact that your parents had to connect the way they did for you to exist? If it was any different, you would be your own brother or sister. It's kind of a weird thing to think about, right? But you wouldn't exist if it happened any other way. And if your grandparents hadn't gotten together, you would not be who you were. And you can trace that all the way back to the first person, which the odds of that happening are so small. They're infinitesimally small, but it happened, and you are here. And it's all tied together with the Christmas story. When you look at the baby in the manger, you go, that's my origin story. That's my origin story. That baby right there is the one who created all things, and all things include me. Christmas is so much bigger than presents and candy canes, cookies. These things are great, right? But there's a small part of the story that God says, unpack it. Look a little deeper. Look a little bit further and see the one who created you and loves you. And loves you. Going back to John 1, 12 and 13, it says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become his children, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Two words are huge. Receive and believe. There's a purpose behind your life, but maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe your eyes are blind. He said, here's how you figure it out. You receive Jesus into your life, and you believe in, you trust him with all of it, and it all begins to make sense. It all begins to make perfectly good sense of why you're here. When Jesus is in your life, you have purpose and meaning. Otherwise, you're just looking for it. Two huge words, receive and believe. Have him in your life. Make him the center of your life, and all that starts to come together. I think that's the greatest gift of Christmas, right? You're going to get some fun things. You're going to get some great things at Christmas. I don't know if you've seen the backlash from the Peloton ad about the poor lady who's riding her bike, and she's so excited because it changed her life over the year, and there's all kinds of backlash about this because she's rich, and she has this stuff, and her husband gave her this bike because he says, you know, I want you to get in shape. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not, but she just kind of raves about how this thing changed her life, and I think that's great. It's a bicycle you exercise for a year. Jesus Christ changes our life in real powerful ways. Because he says at the core of who you are, there you'll find God who made you, who loves you, who gives your life purpose and meaning, who wants the best for you, who every day of your life is already written in his book, and he reads that book like we would read a great novel and go, look at this story. You're part of the greatest story. And it starts with two words, receive and believe. To receive into your life is to say, I want you in my life. And to believe means I'm going to trust in you, Jesus. I don't see the big picture. I don't know how this all works together. I don't know how it all is going to work out in the end, but I know you do. And I know I can trust you. Marriage isn't happening maybe for some of us. It's not going well. Maybe your career's not. Maybe you don't have an idea of where you're supposed to go next. And yet in the midst of that, God says, I have a reason. And I haven't forgotten you. Just look in the manger. Look at the baby. Proof. It's proof that you're here for a purpose, and I've got you. Let's pray together. Father, in the midst of this Christmas season, what you had John write was just so amazing. I don't fully understand how Jesus came as a man, but he also existed forever. I just don't understand that because it's beyond my experience, but one day, I will see you face to face, just like all of us will, and then it'll begin to make more and more sense. Right now, you gave us just a peek inside of what you're doing, just a glimpse of your great story. And I thank you that we have a part to play in it. I thank you for this Christmas season where you just remind us of the birth of your son in that manger on that day and how it affected the whole world and the whole universe. And yet you see the details of our life. Father, I pray for everyone here today just to have a wonderful Christmas season where you just continue to unpack the joy that we can have in Jesus, unpack the hope that we have in Jesus, unpack the salvation that we have in Jesus. May that just become more and more evident as we go through. And may we of all people celebrate the birth of Jesus no matter what the culture may do and say. We know what's behind it all, and behind it all is Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. As always, as we prepare for what's next, we want you to know we're praying for you. If you have anything you want us to be praying about, anything you want to talk about, if you want to talk more about this Jesus, we're always available after the service. If you want to go over to the ministry center, that's great. Get some snacks. We'll still be over here. If you want time to talk about the church, talk about Christ, and talk about your purpose, we'd love to help you on that. Every week, we stop for communion. We have Christmas once a year. We have Easter once a year. We have worship every week. As a reminder, as a teaching moment. I want to go to another song. It's a song that, again, we don't know the music. We know the lyrics. Colossians 1, 15 to 22. Paul was writing about Jesus. And I want to just read it to you as we prepare for communion because it all had a purpose. I can't sing this for you. I'm just going to read it. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So when you see Jesus, you see God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Look at Jesus. He's above all things. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He's holding us together. Christ is also head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And that's the end of the song. And then he gives us some explanation. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy, and you are blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Isn't that beautiful? The purpose of Christmas. Why did Jesus come? Because of the cross. Because of the chance to reconcile us to God. So that you and I could stand holy and blameless before God with nothing between us. That's why he came. Because on our own, we are sinful people. On our own, we are broken people. Because of Jesus, all that can be wiped away. All that's cleansed, and we stand before him holy and blameless.